two of the nights. But it was just, yeah, just very sweet.
We certainly have a lot to catch up on, so
Amen. So this week we're on the first week of this Holy Word Memorial Bible. It's called The Church as the Temple of God, the goal of God's eternal economy. So the messages from this book come from the Thanksgiving conference that happened last year. And the burden we'll see very, very soon. Actually starts in week one.
Yeah.
So maybe we can all take out the book.
Amen.
And we can turn to week one and read the title together.
Amen.
Does everyone have it? Another news. Park is back. Alright, ready?
Yes.
So, going on with the Lord from the tabernacle church side to the temple church side. Amen. Again.
Going
on with the Lord from the tabernacle church side to the temple church side. Amen. So, the two words that stand out for me in this title is going on.
Amen.
The opposite is staying put. So, in this year, 2016, we don't want to stay put.
Yeah,
right? We want to go on.
Amen.
We want to go onward, upward, higher.
Yes.
Amen. And then the contrast here, the past is we want to go on from the tabernacle church life.
Amen.
So, the tabernacle church is
onward
to what? The temple church life.
That's right.
And we'll see that the brothers here, they correlated essentially our Christian experience today to a type of the story we saw in the Old Testament.
Amen.
When the children of Israel went from having a tabernacle in the wilderness to having a solid temple when they went to the good land. So let's read Roman numeral 1 together. It's a huge, huge point. So the meaning of the name Habakkuk, embracing or clinging to, reveals that God became a man in Christ to embrace us, to gain us, so that we might cling to Him and gain Him. Christ has gained us that we might gain Him, so that He can be built into us and we can be built into Him. To be a corporate God-man, a new man, the church and the temple, the house of the living God, the mutual abode of God and man.
Amen. Question to ask yourself is, why do we start this message with the definition of Habakkuk?
Mm-hmm.
Why is Habakkuk important?
Mm-hmm.
Why is clinging to the Lord important to any of this that we will talk about later on?
Yeah.
So if we keep going, in Roman numeral 2, how about we have the brothers read that?
So the word, behavior, and person of God's people must match the church as the house of God, according to His design and pattern.
Amen. So we see point one concerns the building of God. Point two is the standard of God's building on the earth. So we're not building Play-Doh here, nor are we doing just Lego blocks.
Right.
We're building the house and dwelling place of God.
Amen.
So that's not the standard. You can say the golden standard is very high.
Yeah.
It's actually impossible. But we see that it's actually possible.
That's right.
So then let's go on to Roman numeral 4. I think this is the beginning of the burden of this message.
Amen.
So let's have the sisters read that.
The Lord within us is aspiring to go on from the tabernacle church life in the wilderness of the soul to the temple church life with Christ as the reality of the good man in our spirit. In order to enter into the reality of the temple church life, we must see the history of the ark and the tabernacle.
Amen. Okay, so we see that with tabernacle, it's associated with the words wilderness and soul.
Yeah.
And with the temple, it's associated with reality, good land, and spirit.
Right.
Amen. So keep that contrast in mind as we go on. So let's go on to Roman numeral 5. We'll have everyone read together.
In the midst of Israel's degradation, God raised up Samuel to be a person whom God's heart was duplicated, and who cared only for God and for God's interests and profits. God raised up Samuel to be King David, and through David to King Solomon for the building up of his temple. Amen. We see that Samuel was very much involved in the building of God's house in the Old Testament. And the reason why we bring him up in this message is because today, we want to be today's Samuel. We want to be those who are standing for God's building on the earth. And then we'll see later on as everyone shares what they enjoy. Actually, Samuel stands for many different aspects of our Christian life. If we go to the individual days on day one, let's read Philippians 3:12, and I think that really engenders the spirit that we want to have in 2016. Amen. So Philippians 3:12 together.
Not that I have already obtained, or am already perfected, but I pursue, that even I may lay hold of that for which I also have been laid hold of by Christ Jesus.
Amen. So we don't count ourselves to have already obtained.
Amen.
We don't settle for status quo.
Amen.
We want to go on and we want to lay hold.
Amen.
And that's kind of loops back to why we define Habakkuk. Because Habakkuk is about clinging on.
Right.
It's about laying hold.
Amen.
And the way we go on is not pitying ourselves in the past. The way we go on is not looking at all the wrong things we did last year. The way we go on is by holding on to Christ.
Amen.
Because apart from him, the building is absolutely impossible.
Right.
But when we cling to the Lord, actually, the building is very possible. And then Ezekiel 43:10. Let's have the sisters read that.
You, O Son of Man, destroy the house of the house of Israel, that they may feel humiliated because of all their iniquities, and let them enter the harbor.
Amen. Amen. This verse is really good. I would encourage you to pray read it in the morning. I think it's a very good start, a sobering thought to us from the Lord. So day one and day two are on the same topic. They're talking about the building of God, specifically from the tabernacle to the temple. So we see that there's a huge emphasis on the building. And then going on to day three, it talks about practically what's the positive way to gain God's building today in our Christian living. So if we read, let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. It's on day three. Let's have the brothers do that.
From all the body, being joined together and being knit together, through every joint of the rich supply, and through the operation and the measure of each one part, causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love.
Hey, my emphasis here is all the body.
Amen.
Not just Rayleigh right now, but all the members of the body.
Amen.
And we see that the temple is not built up by a special elite group of SWAT team. It's built up by all the members of the church of Israel.
Right.
It's built up by each and every single one of us.
Amen.
And that's the emphasis for day three. Yeah. So day four, on the negative side, what not to do in building up the body, in building up the temple. So if we read 1 Samuel 4:11, I think that summarizes pretty well. Together.
And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died.
So in this story, the Israelites are fighting the Philistines, and they were losing a battle. So they saw, hey, this is a great idea. Why don't we bring out the Ark of Jehovah to us up into the battle?
Right.
And we see that the result was very tragic and very, very negative. So we learn this story not just for the sake of learning it. We see it because it's actually something, a mistake we make like all the time. It's a very common mistake.
Yeah.
And we don't want to repeat the same mistake as the children of Israel in the Old Testament. In our building of the Lord, we don't want to bring out the Ark or the presence of God without the Lord's approval and his smile. Oftentimes we do things because we feel like it, and we drag the Lord into our own personal battles.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that the way the tabernacle moves is the ark moves, and then the entire tabernacle follows, along with the entire children of Israel. So also our prayer life, our Christian life, should have the same kind of precedence.
Mm-hmm.
And then in day five, Day 5 is positive. I like Day 5. Day 5 talks about in order to build the house of God on the earth, it's not just about the positive things to do, right, and the negative things not to do. Right. It's more about who we are.
Yes.
And we see that in order for God to gain the proper building, He needs to gain the Samuels in each and every one of us.
Amen.
So let's read 1 Samuel chapter 3, 20 through 21. And that talks about what kind of person Samuel is.
And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba, Samuel has been established as a prophet of Jehovah, and Jehovah continues to appear in Shiloh. For Jehovah revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of Jehovah.
Amen. So there are many aspects of Samuel. I won't bring them out now, but it's just a very deep well we can dig. And then finally, on day 3, it briefly talks about the ark and all the different stages it's gone through. Just to show us kind of like a milestone by milestone trajectory of our Christian life. We obviously want to go on. We don't want to just stay in the first stage. We don't want just to stay in the tabernacle life. We want today, even right now, after I sit down, we want to go on to the temple church life.
Amen.
Amen. So maybe afterwards we can have each one stand up and share whatever you've enjoyed.
Amen.
I can't read lips. Maybe have a minute for each person.
Just go off a little bit of what I remember from this message, because I didn't really, I'm not in the same morning revival, but I appreciate this message on going on from the tabernacle church life to the temple church life. I think that's what this message is on. And actually, this message was given twice, once in the full-time training on a Wednesday night, and then it seemed like, why is he giving it again on a Thanksgiving conference? But that's how important the brothers felt this matter was we need to have this attitude, we need to go on. And I just appreciate it. You know, there's so much enjoyment. You know, even as we're going through this past crystallization study in the semi-annual in Exodus, we see that in chapters 1 through, I think, 16, you have the Exodus out of Egypt. And then from 16 to 24, I think I got the numbers wrong, you have the experiences in the wilderness. But it's only in chapters 25 until the end in chapter 40 that you see the pattern of the tabernacle. And so there's this matter of going on with the Lord. Okay, surely here there's another progression, which is from the tabernacle to the temple. But that progression it reflects something of our attitude. And something I realized before the Lord and myself is, what is my attitude before the Lord about my progress in the Lord and going on? Is it just personal? I want to go on growing the Lord? Or is it even something corporate? You know, this is, I just appreciated this in this last semi-annual. Our pursuing of the Lord is not something just individual, which we had a sweet hymn this morning, 11:59, something. But at the end, in the last stanza, it says, not alone, O Lord, do I adore thee, but with all the saints at thy dear bride. So the prayer that's been mentioned a lot in this past term in the Wednesday night line of ministry meetings is, Brother Ron has said this again and again, but Lord, make the desire of your heart the desire of my heart.
Right.
And that's very much to do with the corporate aspect of the building. to realize there's a substitution on the right side of me. We need these members of the body just as much as any other member in the body.
Yeah.
I've seen these. I've never met these sisters before, but I just feel. I just see them. I look over at my right, and I just feel so happy.
Yeah.
So happy to see them because I realize they're members of the body. The same way when I see all the other members in this room.
Yeah.
And anyways, I just want to read one thing from the morning mail that really touched me because this was read. It says, you know, the wilderness into the good land is the progress of out of our soul and into our spirit. And Brother Lee gives us one, just this one sentence. During this interim stage, let us go on.
Amen.
We are well able to enter the good land and possess it.
Amen.
Our way is by means of the ark with the tabernacle.
Amen.
Without the ark and the tabernacle, the children of Israel could not have succeeded in entering the good land. By virtue of the ark and the tabernacle, they entered into the good land. By the ark and the tabernacle, church land, we can enter a higher level, the good land where the temple can be built up. May we together press on toward this.
The ark and the tabernacle. The ark and the tabernacle is the history of the church. And in a more church, the history of the ark and the tabernacle represents the history of the church. In the first days of its history, the church was the expression of Christ. And Christ was the context of the church. This is the normal condition. However, in the second stage, the church became degraded and lost the reality and presence of Christ. It became an empty vessel, an outward expression, without the inward reality. After this, beginning from the second century, a number of rebellions were raised up. Who had the Lord's presence, which is the ark, but did not have the proper church life as the expression of Christ, which is the tabernacle. Later, other believers, who like David, cared for God's interest, attempted to practice the church life according to their own choice, not according to God's revelation. These believers had Christ, but they had him with an improper practice of the church life. Today, in his recovery, the Lord is working to restore the normal condition of Christ within the proper church as his expression. The last portion in the scripture is that it was a test pitched according to David's location. Church history is full of such incidents. So many faithful Christians do have the ark, which is Christ alone. Then later they sent the need the church life to express Christ, just as David said. The need of the tabernacle to contain the ark.
Because
they pitched a tabernacle. They set up a meeting according to their own understanding, according to the same principles practiced by David. The fifth condition is that of the ark with the proper tabernacle, enlarged and increased. It is in this situation of Christ, with a proper church to express himself, that we feel completely at home. And maybe continue to grow in the church.
You may say tonight again, as a book that I haven't done this morning in Bible, probably. But in the book of the 6th, in 1 Kings 8:10, which has really been an odd lesson to me, it says, the cloud filled the house of Jehovah, and the priests were not able to stand and minister because of the cloud, but the glory of Jehovah filled the house of God. And you know, as I looked at that, even the word cloud brought to me that we can have this cloud. It can be negative as well as it can be positive. And this morning I look at it as a positive one, because the cloud can fill us, and this cloud can be Jehovah himself. And you know, we can also be priests who are able to stand and minister for God. I really do appreciate this portion. You know, even as the outline says, that we are going on with the Lord from the tabernacle church, right, to the temple church, right. But there is a progression, and day by day, you know, even if we may be, you know,
fallen in some other situation or we've made mistakes or whatever, we can see those who are going on from the tabernacle. We don't have to look back. We can know for sure that there is a temple before us. And this temple is the church life, and in the church life there is Christ.
Amen. Isn't that every year? Actually, every day, the Lord bless us. And if we want to recount, actually, we have a lot of things we can give to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But we also need to have a feeling that, you know, we cannot be satisfied. We just need to go up every day. If we are satisfied with our situation and we stop going up, you know, day by day we'll start to drift away. So I actually very touched by the banners. What I like to do is first banners for you. If you have, you can look at it. We can read together actually the first and second one. Friday we can read together. The Lord within us is a fire to draw on from the tabernacle of the church life in the wilderness of the soul to the temple of the church life, besides the reality of the true land in our spirits. Our experience of Christ in meeting, even thereby, strengthened, identified, and enlarged in order for us to enter into the reality of the body of Christ as the temple church life, year after day by day, little by little, and brighter experience in the body until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. And as you know, our brother mentioned to us earlier, the tabernacle church life, tabernacle associated with the word is and the soul, right? And the temple church life is associated with who land and in our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And to go enter into the who land in this message, brotherly said we have no confidence to say we already are in the land. We only have confidence to say we are on the way to enter into the land. And I think my own experience, I have to confess, I feel majority of my time is not in the spirit. But we are learning to draw in, live in the spirit day by day, every day more and more. And that's what we are struggling. We are going up, we are pressing up, and this year, that's what we are. We need to have this aspiration to do it. Because that's not our aspiration only. Actually, this aspiration is the Lord.
That's right.
He Himself in us.
Yeah.
That's what He's going to move on.
Yeah.
And, so I think that the beginning of the year, we really need to check our experience. I just afraid if we don't have this aspiration, we are not getting brighter and brighter and gradually, day by day, little by little, we are going up. And very likely we are giving away. We are going backward. And something will happen that just like the history of the ark, right? The ark will depart from the tabernacle. And it's not guaranteed that we say we're in the Lord's recovery, that will not happen to us. If we're not in the spirit, we don't walk in according to the spirit, it's very likely the presence of the Lord will just leave us, or our meeting was just formality, right? And but praise the Lord show us this vision. We are not just we have a church life, right? The church life is the proper container of God's presence, God's testimony. But we are in the church life, and we don't cooperate with the Lord, and we will in the degradation.
Right.
So
But the Lord is calling us all the time. When I was watching this video of Thanksgiving conference, I really have very, very deep appreciation how this ministry is leading us. It shows us really God's heart is there, present heart is there, and we need to have His eyes to cooperate with Him. Okay, that's the seventh piece of the year. It's really God's present time speaking. And we did this the first week of our morning revival entering into this book. And hopefully we all have this heart desire to go together in the body and enter into the genuine burden of this.
I was also very touched by the first banner. Me and Scott were reading the banner, and I was just touched with the first couple of words. It says, repeat, the Lord within us is aspiring to go on.
Yes.
Actually, any aspiration of any of our own aspiration is not actually the source is not from us. We can't even say that our aspiration to go on is of our own. It's actually the Lord within us that is aspiring to go on. I'd just like to read one portion in Day 1. It says, within us there is a hunger and thirst for something higher in the church life than we have yet experienced. The dissatisfaction that we sense is really not ours, but the Lord's. He within us is aspiring to have the temple church life in the good land. He would have us out of Corinth into Ephesus, out of the wilderness into the good land, out of the soul and into the spirit. I appreciate this next sentence. It says, during this interim stage, we can even say, during this year, 2006, let us go on.
Amen.
We are well able to enter the good land and possess it.
Amen.
Our way is by the means of the ark and the tabernacle. And actually, in Roman numeral 4, you see the way, in order to enter into the reality of the temple church life, we need to see the history of the ark and the tabernacle. So it's not that, well, okay, so I'm going to completely forsake the temple church, the tabernacle church life. I just want the temple church life. Actually, the means is by the ark and the tabernacle. And the ark is what? It says the ark is the presence of Christ, right? In the center of the church life, which is the tabernacle. And actually, if you're reading the outline, I was really touched. It says we have to look at this history. And this history that is given in the outline, it shows, actually, when the children of Israel, there was a period of time in their degradation when they wanted to fight the Philistines. And I was really touched as I was considering this. It's not like they were telling Jehovah, we want to go fight Egypt, you know, we want to go get the riches in Egypt. Actually, they were telling Jehovah, we want to fight the Philistines so that we can possess the good land, right? But Jehovah's presence wasn't with them. And as such, instead, Alan says, instead, having no heart for God's desire or for His eternal economy, they exercise their superstition to trust in the ark based on the past victories they had experienced through the move of the ark. This reading caused a question in me to ask, Lord, what is your heart? Lord, what is your economy? And we see the contrast is that Samuel was one who had a heart for Jehovah.
Amen.
Samuel was one who had a heart for God's present move, God's economy.
Amen.
Actually, God's move wasn't, at that time, wasn't to defeat the Philistines, you know, which is kind of surprising if you're an Israelite, right? Anyway, I was just really touched. I was inspired. There's an aspiration in me that I want to go on.
Amen.
And we want to go on.
Amen.
That we want to know this reality.
Amen.
That the Lord within us bring us to this point in the Allen also talks about actually the Lord is looking for a certain kind of person with a certain kind of living, with a certain kind of being. And that is the only way he can accomplish this. So may the Lord have a way in us in this year to go on in every aspect of our living.
We must go on with the Lord. Go from the tabernacle church life to the temple church life. To go on, we need to pay a price. Oh, Lord Jesus. Actually, last night we enjoyed a message very associated to this week's morning revival. Many times we want to go with the Lord. For me personally, I never thought about Lord. What is to go on with you? What is growth in life? What is spiritual progress? So the brother mentioned in the message, spiritual progress possibly is the increase of the element of God in us. But negatively, it is a removal of sins other than God within us. We must not think that we can make progress by simply attending a meeting, hearing a message, or understanding a message. Spiritual progress for us is not only addition, but also subtraction. It requires dealing. So in this message, God mentioned Daniel, Samuel, and Paul. They all paid a price.
Yeah.
Because if we want to go from the soulish church life to the spiritual church life, we must be dealt with the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So with this year, we'll be more open to the Lord. Go with Him from the soulish church life to the spiritual church life.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The children of Israel had no thought of the simple gospel coming, and they are bringing up the ark in case that they were just serving God, even forcing him to go out with them for their faithful truth, breath, and topic. In principle, we do the same thing whenever we pray for our prosperity without any consideration for God's promise. So I'm just thinking, oh Lord, actually, we are not much different from children of Israel. We are doing exactly the same thing. So we are still forcing you. We force you to do whatever we want to do. We just don't really care about your fail. But then instead of you serving God, we should pray deep and be the person according to God's heart and for His economy. Most of the time we want to have the glory. We were seeking the glory. Sometimes we are even eating out the glory. But then here you say glory is God Himself. So when God departed, the glory departed from Israel. So the same thing. When we don't have God, we don't have His glory.
I wasn't able to go through this week's material, but I really appreciated also these banners. It's the Lord within us that is aspiring to go on from such a church life in the wilderness of the soul to the temple church life with Christ as the reality of the inner spirit. And I don't know, the second banner, don't you feel like it's so good to pray, Lord, renew my experience of you.
Amen.
Deepen my experience of you. Amen. Stabilize my experience of you. Don't make me so up and down all the time.
Right.
Strengthen my experience, intensify my experience,
Amen.
Enlarge my experience of you. So that we would have a real entrance into the reality of the body. But it's with recognition, it's, you know, after this prophesying meeting, all is, you know, kind of spoken. like it's ministered, we're inwardly supplied and we're energized, but it's day by day, like little by little. But it is brighter and brighter. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. This is a very encouraging message, but it's also a message for particular ones, even in the church life. There's not everyone will be open to such a word. Of course, it's the Lord within us that is aspiring to go on. But, you know, we in ourselves, we don't really aspire to go on. We're kind of happy where we are. We're comfortable with it. That's just who we are. But if we're open to the Lord, if we're really seeking the Lord, and within us there's just a feeling, I must go on. For this year, I must go on. There's such an aspiration. We recognize this is not ourselves. This is the Lord within us, aspiring to go on. So actually, only those who really open to the Lord in such a way can receive such a word and have some help in their Christian life. I was reading a little bit on the life study of Exodus, message 100. And it had the same kind of tone of progressing from our soul, which is the tabernacle church life in the wilderness, to our spirit, which is the temple church life in the good life. And in Exodus message 100, it was talking about the holy place, with all the furniture in the holy place of the tabernacle, into the holy of holies of the tabernacle. And this is very interesting. In Hebrews 9, it actually mentions that Apostle Paul, when referring to the tabernacle, he speaks of two tabernacles. It's not two aspects of a tabernacle, which is the tabernacle. Why did Apostle Paul speak of two tabernacles? He was actually referring separately the holy place as one tabernacle, and the holy of holies as the second tabernacle. This is really, Brother Lee says, if it wasn't Apostle Paul speaking it in Hebrews, we wouldn't have the boldness to say these are two separate tabernacles. And yet, Apostle Paul would say it is two tabernacles. So it's not two aspects of one tabernacle. This shows how separate and distinct the two areas within the tabernacle were. It's even called two tabernacles. And in this message, it's very enlightening. The holy place was a type, a figure of Christ in the New Testament. Meaning that the lampstand wasn't actually Christ himself. It was a type, a figure of Christ as our being enlightened by Christ. The same goes for the table of the bread of the presence. It was a type, it was a figure. But the holy place was actually the reality found in the New Testament. Why do we say this? God was actually present in the Holy of Holies. The reality was there, as it's also in the New Testament, in our spirits. But this is amazing. Actually, in the Old Testament, there was, you know, we talk about types, we talk about shadows, things that point to Christ as the reality in the New Testament. But here in the Old Testament, in Exodus, we see that actually the Holy of Holies was the reality, because if you stepped into the Holy of Holies, you had the presence of God, you met with God, God spoke to you directly, you were with God, and God was meeting you in the Holy of Holies. Anyway, briefly, this is just this progression. As I was reading through this message, I think we'll get into this. I hope. Message 100, anyway. But Brother Lee was mentioning that we may be burning, we may be loving the Lord, burning in our hearts toward the Lord. He said we may even be calling on the Lord's name, but we may find ourselves still living in our soul and not in our spirit. Okay, after reading such a message, I kind of lacked assurance that I was, you know,
most, you know, okay. I was like, okay, but I probably use my soul most of the time. I mean, okay, let's be encouraged. I mean, we are one spirit with the Lord, right? But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. But we need to have, we need to be open to the Lord that we would progress from living, even with all the positive points. The lampstand is positive. We receive enlightenment from the Lord. We receive the bread of the present. We receive nourishment from the Lord. But that's one thing. And it's another thing to actually receive Christ as our enlightenment and receive Christ as our nourishment. So in the holy place, they were things of Christ. There were matters related to Christ. But in the holy of holies, they were Christ himself.
Amen.
We met with Christ himself. We enjoyed Christ himself. So anyway, in our pursuit of the Lord, you know, there's a lot of room for progression.
Amen.
It kind of energizes us, motivates us to go further in our experience with the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, may we be more stabilized this year.
Amen.
More intensified this year.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I am not read the morning watch, but I was very encouraged by everyone's words today, especially when the brother started out speaking about the going on with the Lord for that apple. And the Lord touched me with one of the songs that we have to sing a lot in Antigua. And the song goes, pursue him and know him that he found to him. Found all things lost for him. Just gain him, obtain him, lay hold of him. And Christ is the central vision. The Lord claims to tell, let us have Christ our central vision. Well, don't say forgetting the things which are behind. Press forward, pursue with this mind. By any means, each hour now redeemed. Stretch forward to lay hold of it. And it also just reminded me that I remember the story of Lot when Lot's wife, when she was turned around, you know, and she happened to pull us off. But it just shows that we need to continue in the Lord, forgetting the things like so said, forgetting the things
right
behind, press forward and go on in the Lord.
Yeah.
They go pursue him, seize him. Christ the supreme. Just love the this precious person. Forgetting the things, again, in my mind, forgetting the things, all other things. Love him with our whole being. Christ is now my center and reality. My life for eternity. All things just love compared to him. So love him and gain him.
Amen.
I really encourage me with this song. I have to turn to my brother and ask what you remember this song. Because it's today to carve the Lord is working to bring us into the reality of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
As a temple of the church and as the corporate living in our spirit of the Holy and Holy of the Holy of Holies, of his enlightenment and just to expand his expression.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just let's hold on to him, pursue him, and keep moving on.
Yeah. And I was really impressed with that Samuel was somebody who was for God's interest, and he wasn't for his own interest. And right, it says here that right, Samuel's environment wasn't very good, right? It wasn't conducive to him following God's interest, because everybody else is doing their own thing. And so I just finished reading 2 Kings, and 2 Kings is like it's actually really interesting. It didn't seem like it would be, but it's like the whole book is just like, this king did something evil, or this king was evil in the sight of Jehovah, this king is evil. And then 10 chapters later, you finally come to one who is right in the sight of Jehovah, and you're like, praise the Lord, right? But, like, the whole book is basically just, like, alright, all these kings did something evil in the sight of God. And actually, I was really impressed that what was evil in the sight of God wasn't necessarily the things they did, you know? It wasn't like, oh, this king committed fornication, or this king, you know, slaughtered a bunch of people. But it was actually, the main point was that they followed idols, right? Like the Asherahs, right? So it wasn't, if you compare that to us, that's kind of like us, right? It's like we have all these distractions, we have these, like, quote-unquote idols that, you know, kind of distract us from God.
Right.
And right in the same way, you know, with Samuel and these kings, right, we see that, you know, there's this need of God, right, for people who would follow his interests.
Right.
Like you see with these kings, like there's not very many of them who right, actually had God's heart, God's interest on their heart. Right? And you know, last week I was in Connecticut, and a sister shared her experience of like the week, you know, of something that happened during the week, and it really touched me because like she said that. You know, she knew that she should turn to the Lord, but like at the same time, she didn't want to. And then she said that right, it was a real fight to, you know, be able to turn to the Lord. I think the same way, you know, like in our daily lives, you know, there's this, you know, it's not easy to turn to the Lord and to like right, we want to be for God's interest, but a lot of times it's easy to get distracted. You know, I think my dad can testify, like, I'm really lazy person. Like, I'd rather just, like, sit in my bed and, like, do nothing. So, like, for me, right, that's a fight, right? That's, like I think I'd rather sleep than, like, turn to the Lord. And so, you know, every day, like, there's these distractions and, you know, our self gets in the way of turning to the Lord. Right, but we need to fight, right? It's not easy. It's a spiritual warfare, right? Like the environment around us might not really be conducive for us to, you know, to turn to the Lord sometimes, but we just need to fight. And we need to turn to the Lord. And this is the way that we can, you know, follow God's interest.
Amen. So this week's Warner Revival was interesting, especially going through the personalization study, right, of Exodus. You kind of seems like it's flipped. You're going from temple to tabernacle, now we're going to tabernacle.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of considering, you know, why, what's kind of the thought process. I don't really know the thought process, but this is my own, I guess, maybe thought process of why they would do it like this or have a message like this before the messages, because they know, obviously, the brothers that make these outlines know what they're doing. But, you know, it's kind of a reminder that we want to go on from the tabernacle, kind of giving us a foretaste of why we have this tabernacle journey and why we need to progress in such a way and go to this. But really, in this Thanksgiving conference, we can see what the Lord is really after is the temple. He's actually looking for the reality of all that is going on in this tabernacle journey that we're going through in Exodus, right? And so I like what Ray said, right? We're going on from this tabernacle church life to the temple church life. And in the outline, it brought out that we're not. It's not that the Lord is always the Lord, right? So who he is, right? But our experiences are being enlarged. Everything that that God is to us, all the riches and things like that, are what is being enlarged. And this is what brings us to the temple church life. And I really appreciated actually day three when it talked to where it brought out Ephesians, right? It brought out that we're all needed members in the body for the building. And yesterday, I was in New York City, and there was this really nice building that's being built up. And I was just considering a little bit. Actually, you need every single person to make that building. You know, there's the chief architect, which is kind of like our God, right? He's the chief architect. But you also need the littlest guy, so just the guy that is the security guard that just stands there. He has no use except stand there and make sure people don't go up in the building and ruin things, right? And the same in the children of Israel, right? They had to have guards around the tabernacle to kind of protect it. So every single member is a useful member to do this building work. And so I just really appreciated that. All this, it's really easy when you read these things, you just think of yourself. I mean, even myself, I feel, oh, how I'm going on this journey, how I'm doing this, how I'm doing it. Lord, what about me, right? It's really easy, but to really always go back and see how do we help each other in a corporate way to go on and produce the reality. That's what actually this message is after. The reality is the oneness, right? It talks about the oneness of the body of Christ. The reality is seeing all the whole body of Christ and oneness. You know, not just the church in Piscataway, not just New Jersey, not just the United States, but the whole entire world. And so it's really good to, you know, hear these gospel shares going to Africa, right? Some things from here are going to Africa, some things are going to Germany. I don't know if anyone would Brazil. Anyone's going to Brazil? Amen. Yeah. But you know, the little church here in Piscataway is part of the body across the whole world. We're not just here for ourselves, but we're here for Germany. We're here for Africa. We're here for all the other places that we're praying for. So it's just really encouraging to have such a message. But at the same time, it's very sobering to realize that, you know, we can say that we're doing things. We can say, oh, we have the ark and we bring it out. But guess what? If we're not doing it according to God's plan, according to God's heart's desire, there's no reality in that. And then we see what happens. It's captured. And so often, it's easy for us to go, oh, you know, in theory, we know what God wants, but in our prayers, are we really praying what God wants? Are we really before the Lord? You know, even doing this thing, right? Like, Lord, you know, hopefully this is in line with your heart. Hopefully we're not just bringing the ark out on Rutgers campus without any reality. Hopefully everything that we do, and hopefully we're doing this in the purpose of bringing people into the reality. Just considering, and at the end of the week, it kind of goes, it gets in the beginning, it kind of explains, and then it kind of gives us a way, and then it kind of gives us a little history of the ark, but in the end, it gives a very sobering word to us. It says about David, and maybe we could all read, or I'll just read it to you. It's on the last point, D, or the second to last point. It says, David moved the ark from Adam's house to a tent that he had prepared for it in his own city at Mount Zion, the choicest place in Jerusalem. This was an improved situation, but the ark was still in the improper place because it had not been returned to the tabernacle. This situation reveals that other believers who, like David, cared for God's interests, attempted to practice the church life according to their own choice, not according to God's revelation. These believers had Christ, but they did not. They had him with an improper practice of the church life. So even us, we can very easily think that, oh, we're doing everything in the best way for God. But is this really what is according to God's heart?
Right.
Even Mary pointed out, right, that, you know, they were trying to fight the Philistines. They're doing it out of a good heart. They're doing something good for God. They're trying to get into the good land, but that is not what God's heart's desire was at that time.
Right.
And the same with us. We can do a lot of things in thinking that we want to, that what we're doing is good for the church life here in Piscataway. But are we really before the Lord? And is this really one with the throne and what he's doing here in Piscataway, or amongst the whole body of Christ? So it's always good to be in these seven feasts, like Brother Kyle said, because these seven feasts really align us to what the Lord is doing on this earth. We're not just here in the church in Piscataway doing our own thing, but we're here. In the message also pointed out, right? The local churches are to help us in the procedure. The locality is important, but what's most important is the church, it's the life, the oneness of the churches. So when we get into these seven feasts, we're in the up-to-date move of what the Lord is doing on this whole earth. So, you know, it's really important to really get into these messages and to really dig into these outlines together. I'm just going to give a little foretaste. Our Friday group meetings, we're going to kind of change it up a little bit. So if you're in an English-speaking group meeting, we're going to be digging into these outlines. I mean, in the past, we kind of scattered all over the place in what we do. But we're going to really dig into these because this is really important to get into the verses, get into the outlines, and really dig the riches out of these things. Amen. Maybe we could just end this in prayer.
The reality, we are the extension of the heart.
Yeah.
We don't want to just stay outside, but inside the Holy of Holies.
Yeah.
So we can keep going on, press on.
Yeah.
To be our life.
Yeah.
Reality of the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Heart that is the copy of your heart,
Amen.
Your desire.
Amen.
Right. I see you're the one
within
us
desiring
to go on.
Amen.
From the tabernacle church life.
Amen.
Temple church life.
Amen.
Lord, even to corporately make us these types of persons.
Amen.
Really care for your heart.
Amen.
Care for your way.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Your fresh mercy.
Amen.
Amen. Go on.
Amen.
Amen. This desire.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Yes. Lord, God's presence with you.
Amen.
Give us the reality of the church life.
Amen.
The tribal church life.
Amen.
Mercy on us.
Amen.
Yes. Have mercy on us.
Amen.
We go on day by day.
Amen.
Little by little.
Amen.
Oh Lord, more of the temple church life.
Amen.
Through the experiences of the tabernacle.
Amen.
Experiences of the ark.
Amen.
So we'd like to commit a little bit more.
Amen.
Give you more of our heart.
Amen.
Power from our spirit.
Amen.
And to our soul.
Amen.
In every chamber.
Amen.
Make us corporate express.
Right.
Lord, we really want to endeavor for this.
Amen.
We call you, Lord. Go on.
Amen.
Go on.
Amen.
Lord, go on.
Amen.
Lord, duplicate your aspiration in us.
Amen.
We want to have the same heart's desire as you.
Amen.
Lord, make us the right persons today to build your church.
Amen.
Lord, to bring us into the temple church life.
Amen.
Lord, save us from the status quo.
Amen.
We want to plateau as Christians.
Amen.
We want to grow in life.
Amen.
Day by day.
Amen.
Little by little.
Amen.
Yes. Onward this year.
Amen.
We pay ourselves to you.
Amen.
Lord, we want to go on.
Amen.